Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
One of my favorite things about the weekend is binge watching my shows that are have been recording on my DVR all weekend. It's by escape. Crime dramas, FBI, Grey's Anatomy, all that stuff. Oh, 911 on Fox. Awesome. Really good acting and also incredible. I mean, I can't even imagine how they put it together, but incredible destruction scenes. So anyway, that's what I do over the weekend when I'm not watching sports to give my mind a break from sports. So I'm excited this weekend about catching up on some of my favorite TV shows that have just returned for the fall seasons. In the meantime, we've got 3 hours of our show left to do, and it's not only going to be a football Friday. We're hurtling our way toward Friday and a football Friday, but it's also going to be a Hall of Flame Friday. In fact, in 20 minutes, you've got your first chance to hear what may be the best crop of Hall of Flame candidates ever. I know I'm selling it big, but I'm telling you, it's going to live up to the hype. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, to take that poll. What's the week 6 game that you're most looking forward to? Or you can tell me the one word or phrase that describes your NFL team at this point in the season. Although over the last not quite 24 hours, I've heard from fans of almost every team, which is really cool. I love it when we have a question like that that brings fans out of the woodwork from all over the country. So that's cool. Either way, Twitter's good, and so is Facebook. So you can use our Facebook page as well. Terry, for instance, recently posted the 2018 Pittsburgh Yo-Yos. I mean, that was his word to describe the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde that we've seen with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you never know, week 5 could have been a turning point for the Steelers, and now they go into this big divisional game on the road at the Cincinnati Bengals. That is definitely one of the games that we have put in our poll. So always one of our most popular questions of the week, because you guys like to talk about your particular teams and the games that you're all geeked up about. And so either Twitter or Facebook, and then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So we'll get back to your calls coming up here soon. But again, we've got the Hall of Flame candidates for you to hear and start to consider how you will cast your vote inside of 20 minutes from now. One of the games, well, I'll say one of the teams that's getting a lot of attention for all the wrong reasons, and that will be in display in prime time, that's the Green Bay Packers. Heard from a ton of disturbed and disgruntled and disenchanted Green Bay Packers fans over the course of the last 24 hours. Lots of talk about whether or not there's dissension in the ranks with Aaron Rodgers, with Mike McCarthy. We talk about the conservative offense of the Giants and how a lot of times it's more horizontal than it is vertical. Well, there's been that same criticism of the Packers, and some of the reports would tell you that Aaron Rodgers feels that way about the play calling of Mike McCarthy. Now, keep in mind, unlike the Giants, the Packers are down a few receivers. At least they were last week. We'll see what they put out there on the field. But we're talking Devontae Adams and Jimmy Graham, who really are big playmakers. Jamal Williams was starting the season, obviously, at the running back spot. But he's kind of fallen off the map, only because they don't run the ball a lot, especially not when they get behind, like they did last week against the Detroit Lions. And while the final score might look respectable, it really wasn't. So Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery, Devontae Adams, and then Jimmy Graham. those are kind of your guys to go along with Aaron Rodgers. Now, is it going to be even more messier, even more of a mess this coming weekend when they take on the Niners because of what happened with Aaron Rodgers' knee? Apparently, there's talk that he might need a larger knee brace.
Yeah, kind of a setback to last week, beginning of the week. Got to be in the rehab group again today. Got a lot of good work in with Nate, and just hoping to get back out there tomorrow and have a feel-good Friday and then practice Saturday and be good to go. Hopefully back to where I was in Detroit.
So he says he has a setback, and his left knee is sore. So he says, I got to be with the rehab group. There's also a chance, so you would expect that he'd be out there no matter what, but there's also a chance that he could get his receivers back. But we're going to have to wait and see. So after a hit from linebacker Christian Jones early in the game against Detroit, you could tell that he was hobbling around. There was a lot of talk about whether or not he should even be out there, if he was limiting the offense. He did not practice on Thursday. Now, that was their first practice because they're playing Monday instead of Sunday. But that's good because Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison could be available for a Monday night game with an extra day of rehab.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
I am telling you there's a chance. I'm also telling you that according to A-Rod, the offense is close to a breakthrough.
Kind of been stuck at that number, scored that a couple times, 22, 24, way up to 29 in week two. Not quite the standard that we've set here over the years with the type of offenses we think we can have and the type of offense we think we can have coming out of training camp. I told you guys week one, it's going to be a work in progress. I don't feel like we're far off. I feel kind of like, after Washington a couple years ago, we are very close to getting things going. And like I said then, I'll say again now, I feel like if we can get off to a better start on offense.
What? Wait, Aaron, come back. What just happened? I thought he was going to say, like I said a few years ago, R-E-L-A-X, but he didn't. And then all of a sudden we lost Aaron Rodgers. I mean, let's make sure that nothing happened to Aaron Rodgers. He just disappeared. What he was talking about, though, is this pseudo glass ceiling that the team has run into offensively, especially the last couple of weeks. They had 23 points against the Lions, but some of that in a comeback effort right after the Lions had built a really large lead at the break. They only scored 22 against the Bills, even though it was a shutout. That was the game in which Rodgers was perturbed about the offense. They scored 17 against the Redskins in week number three. Now, they did score 29 in that tie against the Vikings, but remember that they were up big time, double figures in the fourth quarter, and the Vikings came back before they went into overtime. And then against the Bears, they scored 24 points. Remember, that was the rally when they were down, 20 points in the second half, and Aaron Rodgers comes back on the hobbled knee and throws three touchdowns. So that was the stuff that magic is made of, but it's not been so magical since then. Now, remember, last week, Mason Crosby missed four field goals and a point after attempt. He did make his last field goal attempt. So there's a lot of points that were left out there. 13 points would have changed the outcome of this game. But still, they got into a huge hole, and the offense is definitely scuffled. There's a lot of frustration. And so Aaron thinks they're close, but I have a friend who is a huge Packers fan. And in fact, she's the one that took me to their preseason game in August. And she saw the question that we had on social media about one word to describe your team, one word or one phrase to describe your team. And she's so disgusted that she wrote Milwaukee Brewers. As in, I'm done with the Packers. I'm moving on to our baseball team. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Tony's listening in Arizona. Tony, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning.
hello. It's not quite my morning, but I'll take it. If it's your morning, man, then that's cool.
Not quite. I'm a late night guy, and I appreciate what you do for the late night listeners across the country.
Thank you.
Hey, I was wondering what you thought about the divisional battle between the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cincinnati Bengals going in with the Shazer effect and the revenge factor, possibly, and penalties with the new penalties and whatnot going on. What kind of shakeup do you see going on into this game?
Well, first let me ask you, what revenge factor?
I know the Pittsburgh Steelers are blaming Cincinnati Bengals for taking Shazer out last year.
No, no, he took himself out. He made a tackle with his helmet. He led with his helmet, and he did that to himself. I mean, it sucks. It's a terrible injury. They definitely miss him on the field, but that wasn't the Bengals' fault. He led with his helmet and made a tackle, and that's where he got the compressed spine.
I don't know. Thinking there's going to be any kind of revenge factor.
No, how could it? That's ridiculous. The Steelers know exactly what happened. Ryan knows exactly what happened. I mean, we all saw it. He made a tackle with the crown of his helmet, and that's how he hurt himself.
Okay, well, that was my question. You know, I thought there would be a lot of penalty flags.
Well, there might be that. I'll give you that, Tony. When they match up in the AFC North, there generally are a lot of penalty flags. And let's be honest, the Steelers and Bengals don't really need any kind of extra motivation. They can't stand each other. And we've seen playoff games between the two recently. And we've got things like Vontaze Burfict, who always seems to mix it up. Remember Joey Porter coming on the field a couple years ago in the playoffs? I mean, it usually these games are physical, and they're tough, and they're smash mouth, and they're both of these teams are attempting to teach the other a lesson they won't soon forget. So there's no love lost. I'll definitely agree with you there. I just don't think the Ryan Shazier is going to be any part of it. The Bengals feel bad for him,
good.
Too, obviously.
Yeah, we would like to think that, of course. And I'm happy for the Bengals that Perfect's going to be back. So thank you for your opinion on that.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Thanks so much for listening, Tony.
You have a nice morning.
Yeah, I had actually forgotten that it was against the Bengals. It really doesn't matter, right? It's just about Ryan's health. And definitely that defense misses him. Before the Cincinnati Bengals, if you think about the teams they've faced so far, they had 34 points against the Colts, 34 points against the Ravens. They had then only 21 points against the Panthers. They went on the road against Atlanta. Remember, the A.J. Green touchdown with 7 seconds to go. And then they beat the Dolphins by double figures. So their offense has been really consistent. Andy Dalton already has close to 1,500 yards passing. He's got 12 touchdowns, which is just shy of the lead set by Pat Mahomes. Mahomes is still at 14 because he didn't have any touchdowns, passing touchdowns last week. He had a rushing touchdown. And if I'm not mistaken, Tom Brady's at 13. So those are the leaders right there, 14, 13, 12. And so they like what Joe Mixon gives them as a wrinkle. They're definitely a team that is going to put up some points. Right now, they're fourth in the NFL in points scored, but they're in the bottom third of the NFL when it comes to points against. So they're a bit of a roller coaster ride. Nobody's scared by their defense. Perfect should definitely help. But yeah, I would expect penalties. I'd expect chippiness. I'd expect a lot of physical altercations, potentially some extracurricular activity. That's the beauty of the AFC North. That's one of the games that I'm most looking forward to. It is part of our Twitter poll, so you can check it out, After Hours CBS. Always have some goodies from Chris there on our show Twitter or on my Twitter, plus on our Facebook page. Straight ahead, your first chance to hear the phenomenal Hall of Flame candidates. You got to pick one. I don't know how you're going to do it. It's a Hall of Flame Friday, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
This is honestly the first time Enes Kanter has ever been a candidate for the After Hours Hall of Fame. But you know, when you compare playoffs to, well, to a bodily function, yeah, you're probably going to end up exactly here.
I've been to playoffs before. And then that should be everybody's goal. You know, it's the playoffs. When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt. I'm sorry.
Now, I would never say that. I don't know
what
how many.
What the f- was that?
I don't know how many athletes would. Apparently, the voice god would not. But I think my favorite part is not so much his cause and effect, but it's the fact that he apologizes a tick later. I'm sorry. Probably
sorry.
Blushing and then laughs. So, yes, we all know what happens to Enes Kanter when the term playoffs come up.
My nipples get hurt.
Yep, got that. Okay, Enes, candidate number one for the After Hours Hall of Fame. Again, you'll have a chance to vote through the rest of the show, and we'll reveal before we get done on Friday morning. You definitely want to find the poll on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then when I have an opportunity, I will retweet it. We've already got a week six poll up as well, so come on, just check out the social media, and you'll be all set. Enes Kanter, to be followed by another NBA player, one who is north of the border in Toronto, Kawhi Leonard, attempting to introduce himself on Media Day.
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. I mean, it's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel.
Wait, can we please play it again, please?
I'm a fun guy.
Oh, just the laugh. You just
obviously
play the laugh.
I love the game
loop.
Of basketball.
Okay. All right. I won't be able to concentrate. So, Enes Kanter, Kawhi Leonard, your first two candidates from the NBA. Like I said, this is going to be really difficult, so don't ask me how this is going to go because I have no clue which one gets into the After Hours Hall of Fame.
Sorry.
Let's turn our attention to the state of Tennessee where we get, well, I actually don't know where Peyton Manning made his video, but I do know that he played his football at the University of Tennessee. So this former volunteer was very busy with his paring knife, and almost didn't have time to congratulate one Drew Brees for taking over as the NFL's all-time passing yardage king.
Peyton, FYI, Drew Brees just broke your record.
Which one?
All-time passing yards.
Passing yards? Okay. So I still have the touchdown record, right?
He's actually on pace to break that, too.
What? Great. Drew, for 1,000 days, I've held the record for all-time passing yards in the NFL. And I got to tell you, it's been the greatest 1,000 days of my life. And thanks to you, that's over now. And you've ruined that for me. So thank you very much. I have nothing left to look forward to except slicing my tomatoes, making dinner for my family, putting together this wedge salad. Also, let this serve as the congratulations for the touchdown record, because as you can see, I'm very busy. I don't have time to keep doing these videos for you, congratulating you.
I don't know which of those particular moments is my favorite with Peyton, but from the very beginning, he nails it. From the which one asking about the record to the what? To the they were the greatest days of my life.
Drew, for 1,000 days, I've held the record for all-time passing yards in the NFL. And I got to tell you, it's been the greatest 1,000 days of my life.
Really?
And thanks to you, that's over now.
Now, in case you hadn't seen the entire Peyton Manning video, he did go on to congratulate Drew Brees.
What?
Properly, yes. And what? And he also held up this cool picture from a conference they did together in which he was a third-year player and Drew was still in college, and it was it was awesome.
This wedge salad.
He's wielding a paring knife. While,
and you've ruined that for me.
While
so
while he's congratulating Drew Brees.
What?
No one has ever done a congratulatory video quite like that one. So, Enes Kanter, Kawhi Leonard, Peyton Manning, or a name you've probably never heard of, or if you have, you've only heard of it here on this show. But the assistant principal and athletic director at Soddy Daisy High School near Chattanooga, Tennessee, he recently got himself into some hot water for some comments he made about girls.
Things to address, we need to make sure athletic shorts. And I know, boys, you're thinking, you know, I don't understand why it's not fair. Athletic shorts go past your knees. I didn't make the rules. Well, I kind of did. But that's the rules. So that's just what we're going to stick to. And that doesn't mean that you can wear athletic shorts. So everybody who's going, well, I got a detention for wearing athletic shorts, that's what you're going to get. And if you don't serve it, you're going to do Saturday school. So just don't wear them. And if you really want someone to blame, blame the girls, because they pretty much ruin everything. They ruin the dress code. They ruin, well, ask Adam. Look at Eve. It's really all you really get to get to, okay? You can really go back to the beginning of time. So it'll be like that the rest of your life. Get used to it. Just keep your mouth shut. Suck it up. Follow the rules. I hope everybody has a great day.
What a dope.
Blame the girls.
Okay, forget the fact that his description of the Adam-Eve relationship is not accurate. We'll just leave that for a second.
Ask Adam.
I mean, I would. Jared Hensley is his name. And if you're wondering, after his paid administrative leave for 10 days, he had to apologize for those remarks that were in a video broadcast to the entire school. Now, you may be wondering how we got the video. Funny, you should ask. It made its way to YouTube within minutes, as you can imagine. And as it was going viral, the school decided, whoops, we probably better take that down. But not before the Chattanooga Times Free Press picked it up, which is where we got it.
I hope everybody has a great day.
So after a 10-day suspension, Jared Hensley did not get fired, but he did get to think about what he'd done for a nice long vacation on the shelf.
I didn't make the rules.
Well, I kind of did. Oh, my gosh. So, Jared Hensley could be immortalized in the After Hours Hall of Fame.
Ask Adam.
I would love for Adam to vote. Thank you, Mr. Hensley.
What?
What? What are you going to do? Seriously, what? What are you going to do? This is really difficult. But this is your decision. Who gets
which one?
Who gets into the After Hours Hall of Fame? Now you got to vote. You're the first people to hear these new candidates. A-Law Radio, if you just want to send me a tweet, or we're going to have a, do we have the poll up? Is the poll up? The poll is up! So you can check it out on our show Twitter, or here, I'm going to retweet it myself. I don't even know how I'm going to vote. So I have no idea how you're going to vote. We'll also put it up on Facebook. It's a Hall of Flame Friday, peeps. What are we doing next? Oh, you know what? We could have probably used some of the recent audio from the Las Vegas UFC debacle. However, we just didn't have room. But we've got fallout. We'll get to it next. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Your votes are already pouring in. We found pictures to go on Facebook. Sometimes I feel like Facebook is more fun simply because you get the pictures. We could probably put up the pictures on Twitter, but the poll is what you get on Twitter instead. So, A-Law Radio or After Hours CBS. Those are your two Twitter options, and you've got two Twitter polls. What's the game you're most looking forward to week 6 in the NFL? And based on the audio you just heard here on the show, who's your choice for the next After Hours Hall of Flame inductee, which will be revealed before the end of the show? And if you miss it, so maybe you only get to watch a portion of the show, you only get to hear a portion of the show, we will put it on YouTube so that you can then hear the big reveal after the fact. So we always put our Hall of Flame inductions on YouTube, and generally they're pretty popular because they're guaranteed to make you laugh. Not quite like Kawhi Leonard, but, you know, laugh nonetheless. So either on Twitter or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes we listen to the audio and I think, where in the world did we come up with this idea? And then I remember, oh, it was me messing up. And instead of saying the Hall of Fame, I said the Hall of Flame. Brilliant. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. What's the game you're most looking forward to? For sure, we can talk more about football. But I mentioned that there is fallout for the, don't tell me, Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Boom.
Boom. We're just going to call them Conor and Khabib from now on, but Nurmagomedov, I needed to practice it. It's like Tua Tagovailoa. I had to keep practicing it, otherwise it will never come off the tongue easily. So you may remember going back to Saturday night, a lot of you were watching the fight. I don't remember exactly what the numbers were for pay-per-view, but I believe it was upwards of 2 million. So there were a lot of people. Dana White was thrilled, I'm sure, with the number of people who tuned in for what was the main event between Conor and Khabib. Except after the fight was over and after Conor had tapped out, there was extracurricular activity that the Nevada Athletic Commission did not take kindly to. And this goes back to a situation in New York, was it earlier this year, in which members of Conor's team, Conor's crew, threw a dolly at a bus, and there were members of Khabib's crew that were injured. They were the targets. And so now, retaliation. In Las Vegas on Saturday, once the fight was over, Khabib climbed into, well, over the octagon and into the stands, and some of his guys then came into the octagon and attacked Conor. I mean, he literally got, he got jumped from behind. But he also then climbed the octagon, climbed the cage, and that's a no-no in the eyes of UFC and the Athletic Commission. So, ultimately, Conor got paid. Khabib has not yet received his money for winning this fight. And what we're finding out is that they've both been temporarily suspended. Starting Monday, both Conor and Khabib have been temporarily suspended by the Nevada Athletic Commission. Now, I need to ask Isaac a question. Does that mean they can't fight anywhere, or they just can't fight in Vegas?
Just in Vegas for 10 days.
Okay, that's what I thought. So it's not as though it's the end of their careers or anything like that. I would think if you're Khabib, you're far more concerned about the fact that you have not yet received your money. Conor's already gotten his money for fighting and losing. Khabib has not received his money for fighting and winning. But again, it's temporary, and there is a hearing coming up on my mom's birthday. Not that you would know that, but it's October 24th. And we'll see what kind of sanctions could come out of that. So they'll have a chance to plead their case. I don't really know what they could possibly say that would make it less egregious. I mean, we all saw what happened, and we all know the history between the two of you. Don't you do now? So they're suspended temporarily pending a hearing, and I would not at all be surprised if there were sanctions for at least Khabib. Isaac, what are you expecting? Since you were there in Las Vegas, what are you expecting to come out of this?
They both need to be suspended severely. Maybe that's 4 or 5 months. And I hope there's not a rematch, because this got really, really disgusting with the fights in Barclays and then the fights in Vegas. So just keep them away from each other for a while.
Do both camps want a rematch? Because I did see that Conor tweeted about a rematch.
Just Conor's. So it makes sense, of course, because he lost.
Right, of course, because he wants a chance to make good on what just happened. When was the last time Conor fought before UFC 229?
Fought Floyd last summer.
All right, so that's not a real, right, but that wasn't a real UFC event.
But before that, November of 2016.
So it had been a year and a half plus since he had fought anyway. So 4 to 5 months is really no big thing. What about Khabib? How often does he fight?
He fought 3 times this year.
Ah, okay, so that might be a harsher sanction for him. Interesting to see what happened. Dana White said that he was ticked off about the way things went down, that he was really embarrassed. Sometimes, though, I wonder about Dana. I feel like he might, in fact, be a little bit embarrassed, but he mostly just likes the attention and the publicity. I mean, he's one of those guys that is all about
That's a flat-out
disgusting lie. Uh-huh.
He says one thing, but I feel like behind closed doors, he says something entirely different.
A lie.
I mean, the way he stands up there at those weigh-ins and those press conferences pre-fight, and he acts like he can't stand the fact that the two guys look like they want to tear each other's heads off, and then you have Connor start to throw water bottles and everything else. I really do think he's very happy with the way Connor acts because it just puts more eyeballs on UFC. So, yeah, plus, like I said, there were 2 million, I think, was the number I saw buys, and that was just the preliminary number. So I don't know that this is the way they want the attention, but I think in the case of UFC, which is not a mainstream sport, it will never be a mainstream sport as long as you have to pay to watch it. Let's just be honest. There are a lot of people out there who aren't going to pay to watch these fights. I mean, it's hard enough to get people to watch a game on NFL Network, for heaven's sakes, or MLB Network, but to have to pay extra, I mean, that's a big hurdle for a lot of people. So while 2 million sounds like a lot, and certainly they're making money, they're definitely increasing the number of eyeballs. It's always going to be a ceiling that they hit. They're never going to have the type of audience that, say, the NFL does or baseball does or NBA, because those games are available for free. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we'll keep our eyes on that story. But I don't know that any of the punishments that ever come down from the UFC, or in this case from the Nevada Athletic Commission, have a whole lot of teeth. It seems like guys do drugs, they get popped for PEDs, they break rules, and then boom, they're right back in the octagon. So yeah, it's not quite the same punishment or same stigmatism as it would be if it happened in one of the other sports. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Is there a chance that one of these guys could end up pressing criminal charges? I know in New York there were some charges pressed, correct?
From fighters that were on the bus, not from Khabib's team.
I like how you said Khabib's team. But there were guys that were injured, though.
Yeah.
So there were charges that were pressed. Whatever happened to Conor McGregor's team for that?
Nothing. He just had to go to a couple of hearings, and then Dana White basically took care of it.
Of course,
a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, it's all about protecting your guys. So, what about Conor McGregor then doing something legally in response to what happened when he got jumped in the octagon?
Conor was one of the guys who was attacked and things like that. Conor refused to press charges. So, the guys that they did have, they've released. There were three guys from Khabib's team that were arrested, and they were released because Conor didn't want to press charges.
All right, so that answers that. Now, do you believe it was staged? That's a question that I have heard out there. I do not believe that, not for even a second. I just can't imagine that Conor would allow something to be staged that would have him being clocked, cold clocked from behind. That, to me, there's no way. I don't know if potentially it wasn't already planned by Khabib's team. I mean, I could see that no matter what happened during the fight, they were planning on retaliating against Conor's guys and against Conor McGregor. Now, that I can believe, that they had already premeditated this particular response when the fight was over. And so I would give you that. But in terms of the UFC fixing it, I don't think so, because they couldn't control the outcome. There's no way that they can control. What if let's just say, for the sake of argument, some guy gets popped in the back of the head, has a serious injury, and something happens to him. Like, physically, he's never the same. They would be in so much trouble.
Yeah, no, there's real hate.
No, there definitely is. I just don't believe that UFC would orchestrate something like this, as much as I do believe that Dana White likes the clown show, because it then increases the clicks, increases the social media traffic, and potentially increases money lining his pocket. The Home Depot Foundation's annual celebration of service season has begun. Join the Home Depot to help improve the quality of life for veterans. Visit serveveterans.com for more information on how you can help in your community. Vote for our Hall of Flame inductee, and also the game you're most looking forward to, week 6 in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.